Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The music in the shopping centers drip with sweetness. The scents wafting from the confectioners is all the sweeter. And visions of family and friends with beaming faces because of the gift that you purchased promises you something even yet sweeter. Behind it all is the marketing of joy. It can be produced by what you do as long as you follow the wisdom of the advertisers. But for all the joy that we're promised, there are many who are far removed from joy. Mourning for loved ones. Anxious over strained finances. Uncertain whether or not family members who have been estranged will respond to invitations. The fact of the matter is, some are expecting a blue Christmas. Joy can be hard to come by. The question is, where will you find it? The answer is, right here. This season brings joy as you anticipate Christ's birth, but it takes time to arrive at his birth. And we're tempted to jump the gun, to skip over Advent and get right to Christmas, but that's not how life works. The things that bring us joy really and truly are worth the wait. The things that bring us joy don't come easily, but they require patience. As we wait, distractions come to rob us of joy, and into the void flows sorrows. So just when joy should be flooding upon us, it escapes us. As elusive as joy can be, sorrow takes hold far too easily. But you are blessed as the Magi come full of joy. And so rejoice with the Magi, for Christ answers your sorrow. Rejoice. You do have a reason for joy. I mean, consider everything that you enjoy. God provides you with daily bread, everything that has to do with the support and needs of your body, and let's be honest, even more than you need. You have reason for joy, yet you are all too easily distracted from joy. Herod was distracted. The Magi arrived in Jerusalem looking for the one who was to be born king of the Jews. Herod gathers and calls the scribes so that they can tell him where Jesus was born. The answer is found in the prophet Micah. The promise of the Lord delivered by the prophets is ultimately fulfilled in Christ. What generations of the faithful had been longing to see, what so many had spent their lives desiring, now finally stands fulfilled. That is reason for joy. But not for Herod. Herod is distracted from joy by power and the love of the status quo. He plots to kill the Christ child to safeguard his own power. He's quite content with the way things are, and he will not tolerate a rival to his throne. See, once joy departs, well, sorrow finds a home. You know what it is. Perhaps in the opposite direction of Herod, you have been distracted from joy by your lack of power, so that you sorrow over things never going your way. Why, oh why, can't things work out the way I want them to just this once? And notice what happens. With focus upon what you don't have, you lose sight of what you do have, and so joy flees. Rather than rejoicing in all that God provides you with, your daily bread and more, you are distracted by frustration with the status quo. You covet more. You covet what others enjoy. Instead of seeing the Lord's bounty given to you, you see what others have and what you do not. And when joy departs, sorrow makes your heart its home. Now, sorrow exceeds sadness in duration and thus also in intensity. For sadness comes and goes, but sorrow remains for prolonged periods. And the longer that it stays, the more piercing it becomes. You see how sorrow is the antithesis of joy? Joy requires patience as you wait for the realization of what you desire. Waiting for graduation, or waiting for marriage, or waiting for birth, or waiting for Christmas. But sorrow feeds off of your impatience, so that the longer you must go without having what you desire, well, the deeper your sorrow becomes. Sorrow tells you that joy does not come from waiting, that your desire must be satiated right now. How has sorrow robbed you of joy? Well, however you answer that, and however it has happened, Christ answers your sorrow by who He is. He will not be who Herod wants Him to be, a rival who can be easily killed so that power can be preserved and the status quo maintained. He will not be who you want Him to be, a servant who bows to your every desire, treating you as if you were the king, who upends the status quo so that things can be as you dream right now. No. Jesus will only be who you need Him to be. He will be far more than what you want. You see who He is when the Magi arrive. Matthew says that when they saw the child, they fell down and they worshiped Him. Now, a more accurate translation is that falling down, that they prostrated themselves to Him. Think about this. 30 years later, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary will find Jesus outside an empty tomb, and they will do the same thing. Then the 11 will meet Jesus in Galilee and will prostrate themselves to Jesus as well. You only prostrate yourself before God. The Magi knew it. The women at the tomb knew it. The disciples knew it. And that prostration, that bowing down, reveals joy. For the women at the tomb were overjoyed to see Jesus resurrected, and so were His disciples. This is the kind of God that you have, the kind that chooses to humble Himself to be born not in the legendary Jerusalem, but in lowly Bethlehem. The kind that chooses to die and rise that you might receive what you need, forgiveness and salvation, rather than what you want. The king's greatness is found in His humility. And so Matthew tells us that the Magi rejoiced a great joy greatly. That's two joys and two greats, if you're counting. Matthew is making the point that there is reason aplenty for joy, and it's all because Jesus is who He is. He is the God who gives you not what you want, but what you need. His coming in the flesh, His dying and rising in the flesh, all so that you be given forgiveness, that you might be saved. In the Kempis carol, we sing these words: He whom sages westward faring, humbly worship offerings sharing. Why worship this child? Because the Lord has revealed to the Magi who this child is and why He has come. Lying helpless in a manger, poor and bare and lowly, to set you free from your sorrow wholly. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our hope and our joy. Amen.